This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 38, our Macworld special. We're at the Zeum, which is an incredible museum, a science museum for kids at Moscone Center, and we're in the Zeum Auditorium. Isn't this a nice facility? I think we might do this on a regular basis. This is just, yeah, it's great.
You know, one guy on Broadway, likes it. We put on a Broadway show.
We could dance here. I mean, this is fantastic. We also want to thank the San Francisco School for Digital Filmmaking, who are helping us out with the technical issues here, because I don't know why. It's so difficult.
I'm just still stuck on the lumbering geeks trying to do a dance ensemble.
I always wanted to do a rap kind of. In fact, I want to do this with Dvorak, where we do a keynote where there's a smoke bombs and the flash pots, and we do kind of a rap, and we come out.
Sort of an 80s.
We need a lot of dancing women.
Yeah, then they take the attention.
Kind of
the Rockettes,
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me go around the table. We're still waiting for Steve Wozniak. He did say he'd come, but we just don't know if he's going to make it. He was in rehearsals all day today for something. So.
Broadway show.
He's going to be. Yeah, that's going to be great. Roger Chang is on the stage right here.
Hello.
Patrick Norton, good to have you. Patrick had to move the taping of DLTV back a little bit to accommodate this. So thank you. I appreciate that. Because Tuesday is tape night on DLTV. Did you get the show in?
Yeah.
Is it done?
Now we're encoding.
You got somebody else doing that?
We're uploading. Yes. I'll be back there on the.
Why did they make you work after 5?
It's Ziff Davis, baby. John C. Dvorak, who's. He's Patrick's designated needler tonight, and he's been doing a good job already.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. All the way from Canada, Amber MacArthur is here tonight. We're glad to have her back. And to Amber's left, it's Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine, Mac911, the Mac Daddy. Also the author of the fabulous, Secrets of the iPod and iTunes Now, right?
Yeah, and also the iPod and iTunes Pocket Guide.
Small enough to fit in your pocket?
Small enough to fit in your pocket.
Just like your iPod.
That's right.
And all the way to the left, because we thought Apple was going to announce a plasma HD TV, Robert Herron. He's the HDTV guy at DLTV.
Indeed.
Yeah. Did you have anything to do with the PC Magazine cover on the story this month on HDTV reviews?
I did.
Yeah.
Those were mostly my stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been
good stuff.
Guys going
fun
blind
stuff.
Watching HDTV.
And now I've got about a half a dozen more displays sitting in the lab right now while I was gone at CES.
So
it's pretty scary.
It's going to be a busy year.
So it was a very exciting keynote. It was kind of like a rock show, really. I mean, you didn't go, John. Who was at the keynote?
I just got the thing. You know what I did was smart money.
That's not the same.
The MacRumorsLive.com thing is a minute-by-minute breakdown. Works for me.
And you know, that's every bit as good as being in there in person.
Yeah, it is.
Think? Yeah.
Well, it's an Apple keynote, which means there's going to be applause at every announcement.
Yes.
There's going to be a huge number of basically engineers and Mac employees in the back to make sure if there's no clapping, the clapping starts at the back and moves it way forward. They take the journalists and they bury them in the middle or off to the side so that they're surrounded by enthusiastic people. They're brilliantly managed.
Oh, you think you're so smart. The Apple people were in front this time.
You know?
They were all over it.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen those old Betty Boop cartoons, but the audiences that they show typically with a Betty Boop cartoon with everyone's clapping and jumping up and down, hippopotamuses and whatever. It's pretty much the same thing.
The same thing.
So there was a hippopotamus?
It's in Steve's contract.
There was a couple of hippopotamuses.
In a tutu. Yeah.
Exactly. Except Steve was kind of down today. I think he was actually sick.
You think he was down?
I think he was sick. Honestly.
He was slow. He kept referring to his notes, which kind of surprised me. He's usually got that stuff.
He misspoke a couple of times, and that is not like Steve. You know, I mean, if Steve could clone himself, he would have fired himself for the presentation.
But I have to say that the anticipation, in stark contrast to the keynotes at CES, which were really duds, the anticipation beforehand, the excitement, people were running. They had the ushers saying, slow down, you're all going to get in. People were running to get in. It felt like, you know, a festival seating in an Aerosmith concert. Yeah. You know, let's get in there.
Yeah, that's very typical. But, you know, actually, if you've seen a lot of Steve Jobs' keynotes, you kind of notice that he's, most of the time he's like, hey, we got great stuff to show you today.
He was a little down.
You know, we have some remarkably interesting things to
do. And he coughed a few times.
He did, was, yeah. Yeah, and I thought there was some good stuff announced today, but he really wasn't kind of delivering the, this is incredible, and look at this, and look at this. And I don't think it was because of the nature of the products, but rather I think he was sort of feeling under the weather.
Well, he was afraid of being hugged by Ottolini again.
Now,
well, that's why he had that suit on.
We're going to get to the Ottolini thing, because I think there was a major faux pas that happened there with Intel, but I'm also very interested in the Intel-Apple relationship, because it's not exactly what I would have thought. But we're going to get to that. Let's start at the beginning and work our way item by item through John's.
Sorry, I got his notes now.
Yes.
Okay, first of all.
People here, I'll start. 8:55. People are taking their seats.
And the crowd's going wild. Look at that.
Yeah, this is unbelievable.
Now, let's talk about some of the numbers, because he did announce some spectacular sales figures.
100 sold every minute through the quarter. 42 million iPods sold since it was first released. 32 million in 2005.
And in the past quarter, they sold what, over
4.5
during the holiday.
No.
14.
You're blowing 14 Steve's
14 million
big
iPods
thing.
Well, in the 2005 holiday.
You're right.
Holiday.
It was 4.5 in holiday 2004, 14 million for holiday 2005.
See, that's what Steve got a lot out of that. He said,
you don't have to take notes anymore. This is so cool.
John's in a journalist
Thank these guys at Mac Rumors Live for doing this for
me. But
that's,
wait a minute, 14 million iPods sold, and all of them, by the way, video iPods, right? Oh, except for the Nanos and the Shuffles, but a lot of video
iPods. Did they not give breakdowns by item?
They didn't give, but that means a lot of video iPods. The 42 million iPods out there is pretty stunning. Also, what were some of the other numbers? He said
83% market share.
They had a huge quarter.
850 million songs.
8 million videos in the iTunes Music Store.
There'll be at a billion songs in about a month and a half, about 6 weeks. You know, that stuff doesn't knock me out. I think what's amazing is how many iPods they've sold.
At 9:18 a.m., he discussed the Jeep Dodge iPod integration.
That's right. That gives it. See, the problem with that list is it's not. There's no, you know.
There's no context.
There's no weight to it. He didn't spend a long time.
Yeah, but most people just want facts, facts, facts.
All right, give us some facts. More facts.
Well, I think that's about it.
Nothing else to announce. It's, you know, the rest of it's applause and, you know.
I can see that's worth it.
All right. He did show the software. Okay, let's talk about iLife 06, because I think that there was some neat stuff in that, including the ability to podcast directly from GarageBand.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You press a button and it's a podcast, uploaded the app by iTunes Music Store, and what Amber and I realized is we sat there doing a podcast, and of course, they shut us down.
We got
down.
In trouble.
Oops. What did you do?
Well,
if that's for me, I'll be done in about an hour.
We went over to the, we started playing with the new iMac, which is, by the way, well, wait, we haven't got to that yet. Right. They don't know about it.
Should I just pause for a moment?
How about just talking about what some of the highlights were that as you saw them? Let's go to
all
the
right, iLife. All right, you want to talk about Ottolini? Let's talk about Ottolini.
You're all over the map.
Hold on. Stop. Do you guys want to hear about the iMac?
John bought me wine and plied me with liquor. I feel like I'm...
One half glass.
I'm looped.
We got a call for Ottolini.
I'm legally drunk.
This is the Ottolini thing. Okay, Ottolini at exactly 10:10.
First of all, not Ottolini. Some smoke comes out,
right.
And a guy in
That's
a bunny suit appears.
10:09.
A guy in a bunny. If you're going to do this through the whole show, I'm going to have to take that away from you.
You want the details.
The guy comes out in a bunny suit, and you don't know who it is, and he's carrying a big chip. He practically gets down on his knees to Steve and says, "Here, we are delivering you the chip." And then he takes off his hat. Now, I knew it was Paul Ottolini, but at no point did anybody say, "This is the chairman of Intel Corporation here." It could have been some guy from the fab. And they never, and Steve didn't say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Ottolini from Intel." They never. Did you see anything, Chris Breen? Did they CG it?
They said Paul Ottolini on the screen.
Oh, I must have missed it.
Yeah.
They did say that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind.
There goes the story.
Sorry.
Well, no, it doesn't, because, I mean, and then at the end they say, goodbye, Paul. And then that's when I figured out it was some guy named Paul.
Yeah. Well, it was Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
I think that maybe Leo has the feeling that he was stiffed.
I thought it was stiff, but now I see that.
It sounds like it was, too.
It wasn't if they put it up on the screen, but they did it pretty quickly.
No, they put it up on the screen. There was no hug.
There
was no hug, and they hugged before. So the last time they had Ottolini up there, there was kind of the brotherly, very male hug.
Oh,
and then...
I come down here, sir, and I'd be happy to... Okay. Kind of up.
Well, for anyone listening to the radio, or to the podcast, that was disgusting. So
yeah,
you have to catch it on video.
No, you kind of need a 45 degree angle to make that okay. And also, I think Steve was sick, and so Ottolini had the suit on.
And he didn't want it.
Oh, that's the bunny suit.
I think that was it. You know, he said to Paul, "Look, I'm not feeling my best," and Ottolini said, "Look." You know, I'm having a hard enough time kind of this relationship to begin with.
You know, I don't
I'm
think so. Actually, this was the kind of, I thought, the subtext of the whole thing was that Intel was surprisingly
docile.
I thought that they really acted like, in fact, they allowed, I don't know how this happened, Apple to do an ad that essentially said the Intel chip has been trapped inside of PCs all this time. Finally, it's free.
Yes.
That's the ad.
I do think that Intel's very happy about this.
I mean, surprisingly so. And if I were Bill Gates, I'd be a little bit miffed.
No, well, Bill Gates has been working.
Bill Gates and basically Microsoft and Intel have been at odds for 5 or 6 years. That's where
longer than that.
Well, yeah.
And this is apparent.
Ever since the Windows Hardware Developers Conference and the Intel Developer Forum split and started promoting whatever version that Intel thought the hardware industry should go versus whatever direction Microsoft.
So is this the honeymoon phase, or do you think that there really is going to be a love match between Intel and Apple?
I think it's just maneuvering for best position, just depending on, you know, hey, Bill decides to, you know, flip the switch and say, screw you guys.
Right.
We got IBM, and they've managed to manufacture a bunch of power PCs for our software. Granted, it's in a game console, but...
Right.
I think it's a situation...
Wouldn't that be funny if Windows suddenly went over to the power PC side?
Well, they did with the Xbox.
The Xbox, yeah.
But I think essentially you're just dealing with a vendor who's dealing with a typical Silicon Valley semiconductor company, and these guys tend to be kind of crummy to each other. They're mean, and I think you're going to see a fight take place, and I think everyone comes here, you've been predicting this Intel thing forever, and so I'm going to predict something new. I think that Apple's going to switch to AMD within 2.5 years. Yay.
Well, if AMD can deliver a mobile part.
Well, you know, that's the only missing piece of the puzzle with AMD. There's no mobile part.
There's an okay mobile part, not a great
Not as good part. As in, Intel's.
Not at all.
So let's jump to the chase then. I mean, obviously, Apple announced a new laptop, the Mac Core Book Duo,
MacBook Pro.
The Power Weasel.
Core Dual.
I can't, what is the name of it?
MacBook Pro.
Pro.
Yeah.
Is that not the worst name you ever heard, the MacBook Pro?
Yeah.
The Pro Book.
Why don't they just call it a Macintosh laptop?
Anyway, the MacBook Pro, which I still can't remember the name of, which is a pretty impressive product, and the new iMac, which is kind of depressing me because here's this this cheap $1,299 computer that's faster than my dual G5 tower.
Oops.
I mean, it's depressing. I mean, and we went over and played with it. Amber and
can
I started playing
it.
It's really fast.
The new iMac you can order, you'll get it by this weekend.
But no, I want you to buy one because the price will drop
by
$200.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
That's right. Leo is the kiss.
One time
he bought one of those cubes and they discontinued it the next day.
Same day I bought it, they discontinued. I got home and they discontinued it.
You know, they just waited for you to put out your credit card and press
the button. But no, Alex, Lindsay, and I are sitting watching the keynote and we were ready to vault over the chairs and run to the Apple store, and then he says, but not the MacBook Pro Core Duo won't be available until February. So I was disappointed, but I think I'll probably buy one of those.
I'm going to get one for sure.
They look great.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Chris Breen, what would you...
Who's got the cash to buy a $2,000 notebook?
Oh, come on. That's nothing.
You're not going to wait for the revision B?
Well, that's the question. Should we?
Yes.
I would.
Yeah.
Considering everything else.
He's got the right idea.
I'm not going to wait now.
This is their first Intel product. I wouldn't think.
I'm certainly going to pimp my employer for one.
Yeah.
I think, look, they are, I am not kidding, they are spectacularly faster. I mean, this is...
Buy the three-year warranty. And remember, don't ever throw it away, because when it breaks, they'll release the fix and the recall after you throw it out.
That happened to me with the iBook. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You don't have to look at me like that. You don't have to rub it in.
This is the the voice of notebooks past.
the speed of this, what the first thing it makes me think is Apple's been lying to us about the G5 all this time.
Wait, haven't we been telling you that for like 3 years?
Like the ad, this is the fastest computer in the world, it's so powerful, you can't export it.
I think my favorite ad was the snail with the Intel chip glued on the back.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Yeah, they're going to live to regret that one.
But, I mean, it's palpably faster. I mean,
you actually, what applications are you running and how is that sort of apparent to you?
Well, first of all, you got to run the native apps, which means anything with OS X is all native now.
Right.
Noticeably faster launch times. Launch iPhoto, the sample machines they had on the table there had 6,000 photos. Now, if you've ever used iPhoto with 6,000 photos, go and take a break, because you can't do anything with it. This thing, I made the thumbnails as small as possible, scrolled through the entire thing like that.
Like butter?
Like butter.
Like butter.
That's Steve. Steve was sick because he coined that phrase.
Yeah, it scrolls like butter.
Like, I know.
How exactly does that scroll?
Steve must have been under the weather because that was like...
That was odd.
It's like last Tango in Paris. Like
I think so. And even caught himself. He sort of even took a Tango and
get it.
What did I just say?
It's pretty gross.
He was in another world.
Birds. Yeah. Like scrolls like butter.
FireWire is in there, but FireWire 800 is not in the laptop.
Yeah, they pulled that out.
So they do have PCI Express in the laptop, which is good news, because that, I guess, is that on the PC card?
Hey, someday there'll be a PCI Express mini card.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I guess that's good news.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Better than not having one.
There's only one FireWire 400 port, though. I mean, it is a little bit stripped down in that respect. FM tuner on the iPod.
Finally. I carry around an iPod so I don't have to listen to the crappy radio in San Francisco.
I agree.
Except for Pirate Cat Radio 87.9. Please, FCC, don't kill them.
SNL skits.
SNL
skits? Oh, that's cool,
skits?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we should get all that in there. Okay, so in the iTunes store now, you can buy Saturday Night Live. Old stuff.
Yeah, great. The whole presentation, I kept thinking of the Steve Jobs spoof from Saturday Night Live at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I couldn't get that out of my head at the beginning. I kept thinking he was joking with all of the numbers.
The iPod Pequeño.
I know. I wish I could erase that from my mind.
Do you think that'll be for sale? Or will Steve ban it?
I thought he was going to show it. I think
SNL's
it should be.
SNL's done a bunch of Apple parodies. The best one I like is where they make the iNote, which is essentially a digital version of a Post-it note. But they come in the same size stacks, and you have to leave each one individually. When you're done, you throw it away.
Everybody at the end of these things always says, well, what did you think of this thing? What was it like? And I thought this was a very nutritious sort of keynote. It's stuff that's good for you. Well, you know, what I mean is, I mean, there's like a lot of good protein and carbohydrates in there, but not a lot of sugar. So like there was no new iPod, which is like glittering. And everybody goes, oh, that is so great.
Look, right.
It does this, it lights up, and it does that. And this was all stuff that needed to be done. We all knew about the Intel transition. Okay, good. Now we've got some Intel machines. That's good. We've done that. iLife 06 was necessary and expected. We all knew that was going to be coming along. So, okay, here it is. And every so often, every four keynotes maybe, Jobs kind of delivers on what needs to be done. This wasn't particularly flashy, but it was a good, solid...
I don't know. I thought
products.
It was really cool. I mean, I think these Intel iMacs are... And I was a naysayer. I mean, you knew you had a... you had to talk me down. I was on a ledge.
Yeah, you were bad.
It's all over. And now maybe I've swung too far the other way. Maybe I'm bipolar.
You are.
Oh, no.
Or tripolar, perhaps.
Yeah, many, many but, poles.
Yeah, you may have swung too far.
I think it's... I mean, even I was... this. Look, I said to Rosetta, well, you know, the emulation, that's going to be a pig. Even Word runs very nicely on these in emulation.
Because you need that speed to operate Word.
Well, it's not challenging. It felt like a much faster computer. Safari, let's face it, has always been the Achilles heel of the Macintosh. People will switch to Mac and say, but what's with the browser? It's so slow.
It's Firefox. Because they didn't use Internet Explorer back in the day.
Well, even Firefox is slow.
Yeah.
Is. Because the Apples just are not.
Use Opera.
No, nothing's fast on a Mac, except now, actually, Safari is snappy.
He means browsers. The rest of the stuff
was
really fast.
No browsers fast on Mac. Why is it the browsers were slow on the Mac? I don't understand that. Tell me.
Ask him.
Why? I have no clue.
He has no clue.
Bad processors.
Yeah, I think so.
Bad actually. Processors.
That's what I took away from the entire thing, was that these are all upgrades that were necessary to get them up to speed with everything that we have on the PC side of things.
We were not competitive, yeah.
It's short and simple.
Except in a superior operating system and cleaner applications.
But they were running on bad hardware. Right, yeah.
Bad hardware.
I'm sure the people at Freescale should be here.
We've been playing with dual core now for what?
Why Freescale?
2 years?
They're the ones who did that.
And there's so many.
But now we're finally starting to see the software, which is really a good time for Apple to jump into it.
Right.
Now the developers are actually taking advantage of it for the new consoles for gaming, but on top of that, it's also just all the other applications that can be ported over, like encoding. I can't wait to see. Well,
no,
that's important
totally
to me.
No, I'm totally with you. It's like...
Chris Breen, aren't you jumping up and down? Doesn't this make you in any way excited? You write for Macintosh Magazine. Please help me out here.
It's like an editor.
Yes. you can. No, I am. I've been to enough Steve Jobs keynotes that I always walk out going, that sounds really, really good.
And there was no nano there. There was nothing there that would just make you...
Thank God. There was no new iPod, because I'm tired of revving my book. I am excited about the stuff that Apple's doing. It all looked really good.
It just needed to be done.
But I need to have hands-on time with it.
Right. Mm.
And then I can kind of verify where the problem is. And just like Patrick, I am concerned about any time they do a major hardware shift, that I want to make sure that I'm not the first in line to get one of these things. And people ask me, is it time to buy a new Mac? I wait a couple of months.
How many people here pre-ordered?
Nobody.
One guy.
Two.
Wow.
How many of you would have pre-ordered if you were at home?
That's an extra four.
Same two.
It's not, that's interesting. I think there are a lot of people like you who are just sitting back.
Yeah, they're going to buy two apiece.
How many of you don't care because you're Windows users? You're a very brave man, sir.
Yeah, so it all looks good. On paper it looks great, but...
Say again?
Did it run really hot?
Mm.
Yeah.
It was very hot on the bottom if you picked it up. But then that's how I like my laptops. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Walker! Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Gervais, the star of the BBC's Office. So it's good to see you, Andy. You came down with Sean Carruthers. They're the Lab Rats.
TV.
Huh?
Labrats.tv.
Labrats.tv.
You know, we did 34,000 downloads yesterday.
Yesterday? For your CES stuff?
A CES coverage.
That's awesome. Congratulations. That's a really great show. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks a lot.
Andy, of course, our former co-host on Call for Help until Amber filed a suit, but I understand you guys are going to...
That is not true, by the way. Not true.
I do have a question, though, Lee.
Yes?
My question is, did you notice that in the entire keynote, there was time slices of stage occupation? So, of course, Steve had most of it.
Right.
Odolini had about 30 seconds with his little suit and his puff of smoke there.
I felt bad for Paul Odolini. I thought that was a humiliating...
It was hugely humiliating. But I noticed that Microsoft...
So everyone feels when dealing with Apple presentation.
It's true.
Sorry.
But Microsoft got a huge chunk of time.
They did, and she wasn't very good.
And she was awful. Roz Ho.
Is she in the audience?
No, she's not. So I wonder what you guys thought, what you made of that. That Microsoft got top billing, basically second banana billing.
I think you're right. I think what it is Microsoft, Apple, Intel. Microsoft, Apple has to beg Microsoft to keep doing Office, and that's essentially what Roz Ho was there to say is, yes, we've...
What was her name?
Roz Ho.
That's why I said it again, John. That Roz Ho said was...
What was that, Leah?
Ross? I didn't say it, make fun of it. I just asked what it was.
He just wanted to know what it was. The poor woman, her whole life has been... Unless she married into it. In which case, she should never have taken his name.
Not...
Anyway...
I'm sure what you're talking about.
Moving on, before the lawsuits.
This is why the Screensavers is no longer on the air.
Can you finish your story, Leo?
I forgot what I was talking about. No, I thought that what it looked like to me was Paul Ottolini, and I think you're exactly right, Andy, this is where you're going, was kind of in this humiliating brief, you know, here's the chairman of Intel in a bunny suit.
And a puff of smoke.
You know, and smoke, and he's like, here, we bring you the chips. Meanwhile, Jobs is in exactly the same position with Microsoft, saying, and now Microsoft's going to take over and bore you for 10 minutes with corporate speak. Because we so desperately need Office. And I think that's exactly what you saw.
You know, I saw that too. I'm somewhat stunned by the fact that over all these years that Office has been dominating the Mac and the Office environment, somebody hasn't
come up with an alternative.
NiSYS
still exists. It's great.
Well, I mean, how come it hasn't? That they haven't in the background in a skunk works in some secret way built something that they could just all of a sudden just, well, we broke up with Microsoft and here's the new thing, and right. Roll out a big product. They've had years and years and years to do this.
Well, that's always been the speculation that Apple is building a spreadsheet program. And I think you saw a little bit of it in Keynote, which now does calculations.
It's called iWork.
iWork.
Which got 15 seconds on it.
Right,
the
I saw the idea of the iWork.
It's like this big. This big a slice.
That
yeah.
was at...
He didn't even mention Pages, which is their word processor. I mean, it's almost as if they were embarrassed. Oh, well, yeah, we have a word processor, but really, Word is what you should be using.
This all began when they dumped Apple Basic.
No, you know what?
So
this is actually
the is to
tell the story,
Basic,
John, because
Mac Basic.
This is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, this is actually, I think you're exactly right. This is a historic story that only a man as old as John would remember.
But it actually is a telling story.
Apple developed the most incredible BASIC called Mac BASIC.
Mac BASIC.
It was an amazing BASIC.
And yeah, I came up with this thing called Mac BASIC.
How did you?
And what happened to it, old timer?
I don't remember. It just darn disappeared.
No, Microsoft killed it.
Yes, they did.
Bill Gates made a call to Steve Jobs and said,
wasn't it Scully that did that?
Maybe it was Scully.
Yeah, it was Scully.
If you ship that product,
Sugar Water Boy,
you're toast.
You're toast. And they pulled it, and actually, it leaked out. I used to distribute it on my bulletin board system, and it was just it was very slick. Yeah, I'll give you the number later. Actually, I probably still remember it.
BitTorrent.
Two modems, 1200 BPS, no waiting. And not one, but two 20-megabyte drives. So, it was, you know. I think that's exactly what's happened. Even since then, that was 20 years ago, Apple still...
There may have been some sort of a deal we don't know about that was signed in blood.
In midnight at the crossroads?
I mean, it's possible that there was some contractual obligation that was fulfilled, especially maybe when Gates did the $150 million deal or something.
And
but
that
something
is how
took place, which is the only reason I believe, and that's probably why they trivialized the iWork thing at this presentation, I think, or marginalized it, because I think there's like a deal in the background. And then the woman specifically said they're going to at least keep this thing going for 5 years. That's probably when the contract runs out.
Oh, yeah. She said that number, exactly.
She gave a number. I mean, why would she say that? Why 5 years? Why say anything?
Right.
So when you start hearing
It's the digital decade.
Yeah, right. It's the digital decade.
You know, they did show one new feature in Keynote. It's got wood.
Did anybody but me see the Google booth at the show?
Yes, there was nobody there.
It was a little dinky booth in the back, in the corner.
It was this big, and nobody was there. We went, and the Google people were in the speaker's room, and we said, why are you in here? They said, every time we go out there, they mob us.
They said they got swarmed.
So they came back
so
in.
Heaven forbid, you come to a trade show, and people actually ask you questions, so you ditch them.
They had a bigger booth. Google is a strange company. They had a bigger booth at Podcast Expo.
Did you see the keynote at CES?
Well, I heard it was...
Podcast Expo were cheaper.
Yeah. Well, tell me about that. Everybody was saying it was a terrible, boring keynote.
Until they brought out Robin Williams.
It was awful.
They actually cut the feed for the Robin Williams part because I was recording it.
Because he also got wood, I hear.
Ooh,
all right.
He said a few dozen things that probably wouldn't make it in polite company very well, but it was extremely funny. He managed to insult three different people from three different countries. He made weird references to German automobiles. Yeah, it was just bad. But
there's got to be a bootleg of it floating around.
Maybe. I have the portion of the video.
Anybody has a bootleg of it, send it to me and I'll blog it at dvorak.org/blog.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The first plug. You know, somebody sent me an email, said there's a new Twit drinking game. And every time Dvorak mentions his blog, you take a drink.
I wonder if that's derived from the Screensavers drinking game.
That's right. There was a Screensavers drinking game, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
What was? Do you remember what the rules were?
Something. Let's not go into this.
Every time I plugged my book, I think you took a drink.
Oh, well, the guys would be plastered. I should have just called it the Leo Plugging His Book Show.
Have I plugged my book once in this podcast in Twit ever?
You just did.
Leo, once. I didn't know you had a book. What book do you have?
I don't have a book. It's all right. That's all right. I go on Regis to plug that. I don't need to do it on my podcast.
There was a new product from Adobe as well. I can't remember the name of it.
It was called
Salivate, I think.
No, it's... No.
What was it?
Darkroom? Not Darkroom.
Lightroom.
Lightroom. It was an Aperture competitor, yes?
Yeah. What's with that?
What's that all about?
So did anybody get to see the product called IC?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I saw it at CES, and I really like it.
What is it?
It's pretty cool.
What is it?
Essentially, it's essentially a $199 video player, kind of a
$300.
No, it's $250. But I'm saying what it's
$275. Sold for $299.
See, at CES, it was like $279 to $399.
No, it was $250 here. But it seems to me that you can get these for $200 if you look around. There's a million from China. But the fact is, this has no hard disk, and you take an old defunct iPod, one of the old ones, and you shove it in there and you use that as the hard disk, and it becomes like this cool video recorder. You can record, you know, it's like a MPEG-4 recorder.
3.6 inch screen, 4 hours of battery life,
It has a camera in it. No.
It's a
DVR.
It's a handheld.
Mobile TiVo.
It's a mobile TiVo.
No. It can record video, but they didn't have any programmability there. You can record video. It's more like a mobile VCR.
It turns
an old iPod into an iPod with video.
You can take an old junker. You got your iPod, because everyone who buys these iPods, they buy the newest one,
right?
And they got these old clunkers.
I got a ton of them.
So you just shove it in here. Now you got a nice little video device. It's pretty
Except
cool,
you have to use a 4G or a 5G, so you can't go back to the 3G or anything earlier than that.
Yeah,
so
it's a connector.
And how do you get video onto it?
Well, can you use
iTunes?
No, you have to use their proprietary software, and the first release will be Windows
only. Oh, you can record right from the VCR.
It also has an audio, video in and audio in.
Dongles.
Basically, you can
drive. I see. Oh, he's got one. Oh, no, he's just got a piece of paper with a picture of one.
By the way, that's just as good.
That one's only $49.99. Any other questions, just come down here.
I thought it was a good idea for people who have these old iPods and they want to recycle them.
Yeah, and actually, the interface is very nice. A couple of people from Apple, the old Apple days, one of the original Mac developers, is the software engineer behind the thing. And it really has a nice graphical interface. Mm-hmm. It does video, audio, right. It does photos. It's got a bigger, brighter screen than the iPod Photo. $250. It's kind of a nice way to use that old iPod, and
it's a little expensive. It shouldn't be that high. It should be $150, to be honest about it. But
I've been looking for something for the iPod video for like my daughter. So instead of having to get a full fledged portable DVD that I can put in the car, which is just like a dumb monitor that I can plug my iPod for video back there and say, here, do this.
It's perfect for that.
Yeah, because you've got tons of video on these things anyway, so you might as well use it. So this is close, but not quite it.
Was it like a portable player with a 7 or 9 inch screen's out of the question?
And not for most.
Not yet. Did anybody was anybody baffled by the fact that Hall D? You know, normally Mac Expo has the two halls. Hall D is usually filled with all kinds of cool little gadgets. That was closed. They had one hall. Period.
Yeah, and that makes sense after the last couple of years, because they've been doing the two hall thing, and then increasingly there are these black
curtains. It's way spread out
everywhere, and you sort of wander around in the other hall, and it's going, there isn't really that much here. And I think this adds a little more excitement to the show, that everything's packed together. There are no curtains anywhere. It's all in one place. There are 300 vendors, I guess, which is... I'm not sure how that compares.
Is that more, or you don't know?
CES had 2,500, so it's slightly smaller.
Yeah, but does CES have this?
This is a podcast, Leo. You can't. You're doing
this
is jokes.
Somebody gave me this. I'm wandering around. Power Support's the name of the company. It's a little keychain size screen cleaner. I'm not kidding. Go ahead. Clean your. It's perfect for your camera.
It's
phone.
Half a postage stamp.
Oh, it's cool. It's
good. This is like scrape your screen.
Yeah. This has got like some sort of a fiber. Carbon
just
fiber.
Don't get the metal on there because you'll scratch the.
Mohair.
It's a little piece of mohair.
That is a question.
We have a question from the audience.
Yeah, I was just going to comment and ask about the keynote. I agree with you that, you know, it was updates had to be done, but for the MacBook, everybody wants the portability. And the main thing I thought about in it was the battery.
Well, it's going to have, I think, better battery life, yes.
Well, you got to think, the top end is 1440 by 900. It's got a 1.83.
And a brighter screen. They said it's bright
brighter
as a cinema
screen,
display.
Brighter than a 30-inch. You can get 100 gigabyte, 7200 RPM drive in it.
I thought it was a 52.
No, it is 54, but they have, you can order.
Build order. Yeah, you can get 100 at 72, and then you can also get 120 at 5400.
Right.
How's that thing going to even last
well,
on
the
battery?
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. The higher power,
right.
Lower watt.
And the
right?
256 megabyte also
on
the
VRAM.
Video RAM. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's the battery going to last on?
Well, fuel cells.
Nobody said anything about batteries.
No, it's not posted anywhere. That's the thing.
Gasoline powered.
And you make a good point because they probably would have been touting the battery life had it been improved battery life.
Exactly,
yeah. What was the
maybe,
weight on the notebook?
I thought maybe you would have
5.9.
5.5 at
that.
It's
fairly light.
It's going to be fairly light.
5.6? You call that fairly light?
It's a 60-watt performance hour battery. They had a description on it, but it never gave the time.
I think you might be right. The fact that they left that out may be significant. Huh?
Also, John, thanks. I typed that up for Arnold Kim for Mac Rumors today.
Oh, you did?
Oh.
Cool.
This is your transcript?
You did good work.
Give a round of applause, yes.
What's your name?
Rob Massung from Penn State University.
There you go.
Did you have to look at your badge to do
Lions.
That? I'm wondering.
Yeah,
he looked at his badge to find out.
I used
his
a 15-inch PowerBook with a Verizon card, and he had another guy on the phone, but I had an iChat room going with my buddies back
home. So you were using EVDO, and that worked pretty well?
Yeah. No drops at all.
Nice. Notice that they kept showing Al Gore in the audience?
During the keynote.
Yeah. They kept showing Al Gore in the audience. And then Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, goes up to him and shakes hands. And then they kind of almost pose for the camera up there.
They'll be at each other's throat in 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, isn't Al Gore doing a television station or something?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What's the name of that?
Current.
Has anyone ever seen that?
Yes. I've watched some of the stuff.
It's dreadful, isn't it?
I don't know. I only watched 3 minutes of it.
3 minutes.
Sounds like a lot of people describing tech TV.
It's an idea that we had at tech TV briefly.
We still describe it that way.
Oh, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Al Gore is in.
Hey, where is Al? How come he wasn't doing the show with us?
I almost ran up to him, but then there was this barricade.
Hey, Belkin had a good product.
What was that?
Can I just fill an audience with this woman?
I could just get big laughs.
They had a cool... So I guess it's Belkin. No, Belkin's
Belkin. Actually, Belkin.
Belkin's got some pretty cool stuff. They had a ultra-wideband USB lash-up. You saw it?
Yes.
What'd you think?
It's awesome,
there
you
says go. The audience.
How long before it ships?
No, it'll be shipping like right now. But what it does. It's pretty much a point-to-point thing. But you have your printer, and you stick the little antenna in there, and then you have this little ultra-wideband thing, and you can just be 10 meters away, and it'll just zoom it over there. Full, 400 megabits per second right to the...
Wireless USB.
It's wireless USB is what it is, exactly.
Reading about speeds twice, wireless speeds, and then by second quarter...
I know what you're saying. I agree with you in theory, but the Belkin people have been doing pretty good work recently.
By the second quarter of this year, they're supposed to have ultra-wideband for distributing HD video as well.
This does that.
That's the other form of
HD?
Yeah, they were showing an HD feed. They claiming to do HD.
How much is it?
$5,000. No, it's like $200 or
$125. Wow,
it's cheap.
That's great. Airport Express. What?
$125. Yeah, but this is a different situation. This is ultra wideband. Doesn't have a lot of range.
So you say the question, and I'll speak into the microphone.
$99 Ethernet card, $10 for the cable, or maybe a wireless. Yes. Yes, I am a cynic. Thank you.
Fewer cables.
Okay, here's the one I was looking for.
Frugal. What's your name, sir?
What about running Windows on these machines? Nobody's talked about that. And Apple said they won't stop you from running Windows on it. It uses a different BIOS. It doesn't use a standard BIOS. It uses EFI, which is the Intel new standard for modular BIOS. You have to write some drivers, but it's apparently doable.
So you'd have to write drivers
Who
for it.
Who would want to do it?
I think somebody's going to want to do a boot machine.
Okay, they probably would, and maybe Linux while they're at it.
There's stupid people in every walk of life.
Hey.
I may be carrying this, but it's not because I particularly want to, so get off my ass about the thing.
And well, it'll happen. It'll happen. It'll if it isn't.
This
done
is
by
called
like
playing
tomorrow,
to the audience.
It'll be happening in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
moi.
Yeah, it'll happen very quickly.
One other thing, I don't know if you guys were at the very end after the show was over, after the keynote was over. Steve Jobs walked out of the auditorium with Andy Grove. They went out side by side talking.
Really? Andy Grove?
Yeah, Andy Grove was there.
Oh,
and
I'll be
they
darned.
Went out together. And Paul Lini, unfortunately, was a couple steps behind.
In his bunny suit?
No. That was embarrassing.
Did they go into the back and exchange souls?
I can play the blues!
John, you're assuming they have souls.
Ah, good point. You got me on that one.
Is Andy Grove's chairman emeritus, but he doesn't have any role at Intel anymore, does he?
Oh, I'm sure he has no sway at Intel whatsoever. Oh,
all right.
He's probably just there to kvetch.
He have ways of making.
He'll make a chip.
Well, I think it will run Windows. I'm going to say it will run it, and I think it will do it with the sort of unspoken blessing of both Microsoft and Apple.
Yeah, you know what? There'll be something missing. There'll be like a key that you have to have, and it won't have it. I mean, there'll be some. I guarantee there's a gotcha if they try to run Windows on that thing.
Well, I think they could certainly.
No,
release
I think it'd just be the way Apple is. I don't think it would even be intentional. They don't have to be intentional. These things just happen.
Well, why not? I mean, why not make it work with Windows? Because they sell more Macs because people are tired of running lousy PC laptops. So they want a dependable laptop. You can run both operating systems and Windows nearly natively because you look at virtual PC, they can write this thing very close to the hardware. So instead of getting lousy virtual PC speeds, you're getting real Windows speeds. If I'm working if I have a Mac at home and a PC at the office, and I have the opportunity to get one machine that runs both really well, why not?
In fact, I thought that was kind of the key, like the brilliant part of the strategy was that Apple would become one of the top flight Windows.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the case. I think there'll be the premium machine eventually, but running both the operating systems.
So why didn't Steve address it? Was it
I don't think he's going to start. I think that's down.
Does
the road.
Does he feel like he's stepping into the dark side? Maybe.
I think it was
with the fan base
like
that's out
being
there.
Nice to Intel at the developers conference 6 months ago.
Yeah, they have a five-year deal.
Right. As soon as that's over, boom, things change.
No, it's good for Microsoft. It sells copies. Why would Microsoft not want it? I mean, that's a good thing. It sells copies of Windows, right?
Does Microsoft own?
I guess.
They make more money off of Office, don't they?
They make a lot of money off of Office.
You know that guy?
Definitely the most expensive
Scoble here?
Part of software.
No, but I ran into him at CES, and we talked about this very thing.
And now, Scoble is, of course, he became well-known as a blogger, but he is the product manager for Vista, Windows Vista, at Microsoft. What did he say?
We were talking about this very thing, about Apple's computers running both Windows and...
He'd probably have an inside track to that.
Well, he said, I don't really sort of deal with those things, but I see that as a win-win for Microsoft and Apple.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So, obviously, somebody up there, way up the food chain, gets it.
Well, although I don't think Robert speaks for Microsoft necessarily.
Does any people that work at Microsoft use a rubber stamp for their business cards? I mean, seriously.
Visit our website.
Scoble is, I think, he's given free reign at Microsoft, but I don't know if he speaks for Microsoft.
Nothing of this was official. We were just sort of tossing the idea around, and he said,
"Why wouldn't they?" Except maybe that Dell would get upset, or I don't think Microsoft cares if Dell's upset. No, what is Dell going to do, right?
Oh, we won't use Windows anymore.
Well, there was copies of.
Hey, there was a moment during the case where Microsoft did strong arm Dell because Dell had released a bunch of Linux boxes early in the game, and then they pulled them.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you can get them, but they care about this.
They don't advertise it.
No.
You have to ask for it, right?
Yeah. I mean, like one time they were pushing it.
They have it's like under the counter. You got Linux on those things? Yeah, but shh. Knock three times.
It's a special version of Windows.
No, I'm sure it'll happen. In fact, I think that's one reason somebody should immediately on this panel buy an iMac and try it.
You already...
Oh, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm made of money.
That way the price will drop.
Yeah, and the price will drop.
Was there another... Wait a minute. Before you go... hold on a second, because, John, you said there was another thing
There's
you
another
saw?
Product that I like there that people should check out. And I think it's kind of hard to find. I think maybe some people didn't want to see what this was, but there was a little booth over by the Google booth called Live Worship. And it's a religious product. And, you know, you laugh. But,
no, that's not me laughing. There's plenty of
people out there that could find these useful. It was an interesting, and I think you should check this out. It was an interesting competitor with PowerPoint. And it was designed for, it's actually got more versatility than PowerPoint because you can bring up any slide you want. The reason for this thing, I don't think there's a
it's
big market.
It's not denominational, right?
Many people don't know that John was a Dominican priest for many years.
A Dominican priest?
Yeah.
A Dominican priest. I don't think so. But anyway, the point is that this thing is...
Doesn't he look like he was a priest?
A little bit.
Father Dvorak.
Photoshop John in a Pope outfit.
I'd be looking good. So anyway, the idea is this: this was used mainly for these mega churches have these rock bands that come in and they do these light shows, and so apparently they came up with this thing so they could project all these kinds of interesting quotes from the Bible and whatever on the thing.
Verses,
that's what it is. And I was looking at it going, that's a quote. It's a quote from the Bible.
How far he has fallen.
But the point
this
is...
This man used to be a priest, ladies.
The point is that it's a very cool product. And I think you should check it out, especially if you do a lot of public presentations. Because I think you can do some things in here that you can't do with the normal presentation software.
Does it have wood textures?
No, but you could probably, it's probably got plugins.
Import my satanic
anyways. I just thought that was a good off-the-wall one.
Delicious Monster's good, too.
Isn't that amazing? Delicious Library, yeah. That is an amazing product. That's one
Tell
of the most beautiful
it.
Products. It's a library program, and I never really understood. I don't know if there's a big market for people to, catalog all their DVDs, books, music. But if you're ever going to do it, it's great. It uses the eyesight to scan the barcode. It'll go to Amazon, get the album art, puts it in the 3D thing on the shelf, downloads reviews.
So it's the perfect thing for nutballs.
obsessive compulsive nutballs,
not
actually.
Not all of us have your elephant-like memory for everything they... What was that?
It's my memory falling onto
the
floor.
Who's hiding the Diet Coke?
Hands off the Mr. Pibb, no one gets hurt.
Is it?
It's really good.
Oh,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Comic Life won an award. There were some awards, I guess, that were presented. I don't know.
Yeah, is that Mac only software?
Comic Life, yeah.
Was the Comic Life the one where you can put yourself in a cartoon?
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful program.
It's only $20 or something.
It's
dirt
cheap. It's really inexpensive.
Plask is the company, PLASQ, and I think Metaverse distributes it, but they... essentially, Freeverse, not Metaverse. Metaverse is Adam Curry's ISP. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from.
Thank you. Thank you, Leo.
MTV VJs for 30, Alex. Freeverse, thank you. It's a cool program, though. It actually interfaces with your iPhoto library, so you could just drag pictures out of iPhoto, and then has a variety of comic styles, and you could put bubbles on it and stuff. That's great.
I saw it. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, Comic Life. Yes, sir.
Well, a special hello to Amber, fellow Canadian here.
Hi there.
Question for the TWiT panel, or I guess that's sort of a half-eaten donut there, but 1 million dot Mac users right now.
Which seemed low to me. Didn't that seem like a low number?
Yeah, but here's an interesting question. So now we have iWeb, and what is that going to do? What are your thoughts in terms of the growth in dot Mac usage? Is that going to drive a lot of people? I think for myself, I was really attracted to what I saw. So that's question one. And the second thing is, in terms of the workflows, Leo, you've talked a lot about the workflow to create a podcast being, a little bit of magic, a lot of work.
I was depressed.
A lot of experimentation.
It made it look so easy. I thought, oh, there it goes. Everybody's going to make one now.
Exactly.
Jeez.
So what was it? So I'll just leave you guys to talk about those two things, podcasting workflows, and what do you think is happening with iWeb and .Mac in terms of growth of .Mac, and is that really viable?
I think iWeb is a great program. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to learn a little bit about it, but I think it really takes a lot of the tools that are built in to the Mac and makes them integrated and really easy to use and really easy to share, more importantly. So you can share, your iPhoto pictures, you can do a podcast,
this
you can
like
have
a blogging software.
Well, it's not just, like? I mean, it's really about creating your own website.
Yeah, was it blogging type websites live journal websites or MySpace?
You know what it is? It's a much nicer, cleaner MySpace.
It really is.
So
you can drag your iTunes playlist, for instance, right to it, and it
so
will.
So Mac people can date faster and more efficiently.
No, it leaves out. It actually leaves out a
Have
lot
you
of
been
that.
On MySpace?
It leaves out the good.
It leaves out the sleaziness.
Well, then it's not going to go anywhere.
No, people bring the sleaziness. If the sleaziness is
well,
not
put it this way: for the average person who doesn't know how to build a website and doesn't really take advantage of all the tools they have in their Mac, like iPhoto and iMovie, it makes it really easy to put all that information online and be able to share all that information with RSS.
So, it'll be good for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for anyone. Literally, in a few minutes, you could set up a website.
He's never made a website.
It's one of the, you don't even blog or anything.
It's a trend.
It's a sore spot.
Yes, it is a trend. Good one.
You haven't updated your blog since St. Patrick's Day.
Nope.
We made him. We said you're going to do a blog on St. Patrick's Day. He did. Hey, by the way, this is the 1 year anniversary of the first Twit pilot, which we did sitting around the table.
We didn't know it was a pilot.
We didn't know, but it was at the and you were there, and you at the 21st Amendment Brewery. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. I can't remember why I brought that up. I think actually it's telling that only a million .Mac accounts have been sold. I mean, how many millions of Mac users are there?
How much does it cost?
$99.
I think it's a little expensive.
Until now, there's really not.
$99 for you have a lifetime website.
A year.
I think it's too expensive. Really.
Brother, that's pretty steep.
And I think that's been one of the problems. Hey, David Pogue is here. That's great.
And ladies and gentlemen, Roger, David Poe's brother is here too.
Roger, why don't you let David come on over here and come on, David. Thank you for coming over. Yeah, David Pogue
show's
was
almost over. Thanks for showing up.
No. He was at the Apple store where he was doing a competing event. Did you have
the
as many?
Easily five times this.
That's what I thought.
It's a joke.
So you were doing. What were you doing? You were doing Secrets of Tiger.
Dave's Faves: Top 25 Undocumented Tips.
Yeah, that's good. So we actually talked to you a little bit in the press room. And you were underwhelmed by iWeb.
You know what? I have since had a personal demo by Mr. Schiller, and I asked him all the questions we had, like, does it have to be .Mac, or can you just save it out as HTML? And the answer is yes. And, you know, do you have to use those templates, or can you be much more random? And the answer is yes. So I'm more whelmed.
Did you ask him if it can be less than $99?
It's yeah. It's already less than $99.
No, he's talking about .Mac.
Oh, I'm sorry.
iWeb is $79.
iWeb.
Well,
right.
$79 with five other programs.
Yeah. No, that's a good deal.
Let's talk about iWeb. We really didn't discuss it.
That's what we were just talking about.
Look. No, I'm saying.
John, it lets you create a website really easily.
Explain it rather than just going on to what it does, you know, what it costs or whatever. I mean, what does it do? What is iWeb? Because I didn't see the demo of it.
It's a basically a drag and drop page layout program that with one click becomes a website. It handles blogs for you and podcasts and RSS feeds. It broadcasts.
It's the MySpace thing. It's the it easily makes allows you to make a web page.
What was this other one? iMac, iWeb.
You don't have to.
iWeb, iMac.
iWeb is part of iLife 06.
So confused.
It's the.
He's an unfrozen caveman lawyer. Your modern world confuses and frightens him.
It does. It does, absolutely.
Finally,
there's iMac, there's iWeb, there's .Mac. I don't know.
And then there's the MacBook Core Duo Power.
The PowerBook History, whatever it was. Yeah.
Thing.
MacBook Pro.
I got a great book for you, John. It'll.
It's one
right
of your books.
Yeah.
I want it autographed.
The
but don't put
manual.
My name on it because then I can't resell it.
Oh, it's just a regular audience.
I usually just write to eBay customer Leo Laporte. I find that's the best.
Yeah, that works
strategy. So, David, what did you think was interesting in all of this today? Anything?
You know, the Intel stuff looked pretty good, and then, like I say, then you go and you play with it. And, you know, the speed matters. I mean, you suddenly...
It's a big difference.
It's like, wow. And did you try starting one up?
Yeah.
I mean, the Apple logo makes an appearance like this. Blink! And it's over.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
really fast.
It's a significant
start.
Difference. They're going to have to fix that, though.
Yeah, they got to put some pauses, some no options.
All you got to do is install Microsoft Office and you're back to where you started.
Actually, I was surprised how well, given that it's an emulation, Office and Photoshop run. They
yeah,
really do a pretty
exactly
good job.
Exactly right. I opened a file filled with photos and funny layout, and it was nice and sprightly.
Yeah, yeah. So you like the speed, then?
See, I've been trying to get these guys to acknowledge that there is a big
difference.
You're
just going to buy it. Just buy it.
All right, I'll buy it. Right.
Trying to sell us.
Buy it. Price will drop, and we can buy it. It's the way it's worked for years, Leo. No need to fix it now.
So let's go back to this iWeb thing.
No, no.
What? No, because you know what? Because our buddy back here is going on about, I'm never going to do a web. I'm just going to use this from now on because it's going to be so much easier. Does it do blogging? Does
yes.
it do any?
Give me your notes, John. Read my notes.
You know, I have to say, you know, your transcript's a little thin on the iWeb. Or the iWeb.
How about a nice viewer question?
It actually does a good job with podcasts. It does a good job with blogs. I was pretty impressed with it.
Well, none of us has actually used it.
Well, I played with it.
We played with it a little bit.
We played
with it. You guys are just basing this on demos.
No, we played with it.
No, no, we sat down and
we've done a website and sustained it over.
Well, we didn't actually publish one today, but we did play with it.
I think we got somebody over here that.
Nikki, what do you want to know, Nikki?
Well, my question is looking at this new Intel PowerBook, whatever it's called.
I believe you want MacBook Pro.
I cannot remember this name, I swear.
I think there's many problems with it that people aren't addressing. Like, one, the remote, it's just going to float around the bottom of somebody's bag. It's a selling point for Apple to charge you $50 if you want the IR, which they should use radio frequency. The laptop is extremely hot. If men put
it
down on
hot.
Their laps, they're going to have no children.
Right. Which is not necessary. That could be a selling point. It's not.
Every guy I know.
Have you ever looked at some of these Mac owners?
Come on. I don't know if you've taken a look around the room here, but I think.
Well, what about the selling price, though? For that price, honestly, I'll just go buy a $600 laptop at CompUSA and download OS 1086 for the same thing.
And then it'll break in 6 months.
Oh, because Mac products never, ever break.
No, no, no. He's talking about the fact that Apple just make it so it doesn't work in 6 months. I mean, Nikki, you might do that, but not most of us. Most people are not going to do that. I mean, I think that if you want a Mac.
You like this thing, apparently.
No.
Well, you're the only one here that I think that feels that way.
But see, I honestly don't get questions like that. Like, it reminds me of Gmail when it came out and how it would put ads off to the right of your incoming mail based on a scan of the content. And it was like, oh my God, they're looking in my underwear drawer. They're going to know my innermost thoughts. And I'm like, first of all, it's software. And second, you don't have to use it. So if you're worried about the remote control, throw away the remote control, and then you have a PowerBook like it was before.
No, but my question is, why don't they have the remote use radio frequency instead of IR?
You're still going to lose it in your bag.
No, but I mean, wouldn't it sell better? Because line of sight, I thought they're getting rid of IR. I thought it was like...
Yeah, IR is a strange choice. Why not RF?
Absolutely. Right.
Well, because you're not standing behind your PowerBook watching movies.
Exactly.
Right, but if you've got it set up somewhere...
No, I mean, that's the point of front row. That's the whole idea.
What's the whole point of putting a remote with a notebook that you're going to have sitting in front of you?
Well, no, it's across the room.
Yeah.
Right, but
yeah.
What if you're not
So what if I close it and leave it running?
How are you going to navigate
driving my HDTV?
Actually, I have an answer for that. This thing has a driver for the 30-inch display, this laptop.
That's right.
And the IR receiver is not on the lid, but on the lower
driver,
half.
It's not the driver,
but won't it go to sleep if you close it?
Not if you... I don't know. Can we cut to a commercial?
No. I would doubt that there wasn't a toggle that prevents.
There should be.
There will be.
Because it's a great otherwise. Then it's a great media center.
I'm sure that's why it was designed that way.
Yeah, it's a media center, and I think it's a great idea. And then,
if you close it, you can continue. You
can continue to watch the movie on the screen.
Good idea.
Yeah, but then you're doing one of these jobs and across the room trying to hit the notebook.
That's the thing with the IR. It's a good idea to have the remote, but like when I'm in a hotel and I'm not going to, you know, if I want to set it up and watch a movie, I have to be right in front of it.
I'm not going to take the time to hook a notebook up to a hotel TV. I'm going to sit there and watch the screen on the notebook.
By the way, this woman has OS 10 running on a Sony PlayStation Portable. I am not kidding. She does. I don't know how legal it is, but
so I'm not sure she's speaking for the masses.
As the masses, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think she's got a good criticism, though.
Well, nobody else does that. Why should Apple do that? Oh, I suppose you could program it to...
There's probably a code.
Yeah, you can program it.
You could probably do that. Some of them you can program so you can...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I actually did this with the new iMac because they have the same remote there, and I used Belkin's Media Center keyboard, and it worked fine. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Another question from the floor.
Okay. just one item. First of all, the first, just, and I'm going to stutter all over the place. I'm sorry. But the first thing is that the MySpace equals iWeb thing is like nails on the chalkboard comparing iWeb to the cesspool of humanity.
Yeah, totally.
No, I agree. What I was saying is it's a clean MySpace that I would have, you know, my kids.
But it's not MySpace. It's
no, but my, no, you understand. I have a 13-year-old who has a page on MySpace.
Point, I think. His point
it's
is that it's
network.
Nothing like MySpace.
Well, that's not true, because I think we're just comparing it to my. If you know what MySpace is,
I can tell
it's
my
a blogging
13
tool, and it has, you know, it's, you share music and you make friends. It's, you know,
I can tell my 13-year-old, you can use this. You may no longer use MySpace.
Yeah.
Well, are you saying?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Wait, are you saying that it's MySpace that brought the dirty, nasty people? There's no dirty, nasty people are going to show up on iWeb. That's a heck of a thing for.
It's well, that's a thing. It's not
the same.
What do you mean on iWeb?
It's not the same.
It's a web design program. MySpace is a website.
All right, I'm sorry I mentioned it.
It's okay. If we're getting it right, you're comparing it to the web design tools in MySpace.
No.
Well,
I'm saying that my kids think that making your own web page means.
My kids are iKids.
iKids. I'll get the cease and desist. We'll think that making a web page means going to MySpace and making a web page there. Now I can say, no. Look, you can do all of that just as easily in a better environment.
But
and that's
Dad,
what
we're not in MySpace anymore.
Well,
it sucks.
That's what they're going to say. They're going to say none of my friends are on over here, and they're all in MySpace. So
yeah.
Well, they can use Dad's account.
So one of the things we saw at Web 2.0 was they talked about the average spending habit for consumer electronics and consumables and crap, and 17-year-olds are spending more on it than you and I are. It's a little
scary. But isn't MySpace free?
Yeah, so forget I mentioned MySpace.
$99 is free.
Forget it. That was a bad idea. It's going to take...
But Jonathan's point is, why compare the sophisticated, brilliant tools inside of iWeb? Am I getting it so far? Am I spinning it? But here's my question for you. People make crap out of MySpace because they pick horrible things and they tile them on there and they do weird pictures and they blow up and they pick horrible fonts. Can I not do crappy design inside of iWeb if I want to?
Most sure. Definitely.
Excellent.
So it's exactly the same.
Second point, sir.
I just had one other thing. As with this transition that we're going over, I'm a little slow on the page here. I'm just still trying to catch up with everything. With this transition over to the OS X on the Intel, what I've noticed when I do like a format and reinstall on a Windows XP machine is that like for a customer, like over a period of a year, when I go back and visit them, even if they've not downloaded a ton of crap onto the machine, it's slower. Yeah. So I mean, we're talking about all the speed, but are we going to be hitting the same type of wall?
But I don't think that's an Intel problem. I think that's an OS problem.
I agree.
I don't think it's going to get slower because it's
Intel. Well, you can build bulletproof Windows machines.
Yeah, you just make sure they can't log in as administrator in there.
That's part of it.
But that's inconvenient.
But yeah, I'm just referring to the build itself on OS X. Are we built to handle
it? No, I think it'll be fine. I don't think Intel makes any difference in that regard.
By the way, you want to know something weird that they did not say at the keynote? We've already heard that Photoshop and Steve Jobs. Oh, it's okay if you open this $900 program once in a while.
Right,
but
right.
You know, all the people who actually have to use it, you won't be able to do it until. Well, there's a bunch of things that Phil Schiller later said will not run in it, like any video editing programs, including Final Cut.
Will not run at all.
Will not run
until they release their dual binary.
Correct.
You're referring to the OS as the $900.
He was referring to this large group of casual users who've dropped $600 on the program.
Well, but they're allowing for.
I know a lot of people use Apple products is for those tools.
Well, that's so, right, and that's what they're saying is the pros should stick with PowerPC, and you'll be able to move when we went in down the road.
6 months.
I got another hint of that when I talked to somebody from Apple about getting Word running. He said it was a bear. I think there's a lot of tweaking that has to be done of Rosetta. To get these programs to run, just like with Wine, for instance, in order to get a program to run in Wine, you have to really kind of tweak Wine. I think that's probably what it is. I think it's not. In other words, it's not automatic.
So he's got the right advice. Then don't buy these machines for the next.
If you're a pro user, no. In fact, I was talking to Alex Lindsay. He said, "Well, I can't upgrade because I use Final Cut. It's not time to get an Intel." But if mostly what you use is the Apple
products that come with OS X.
But he was also saying anything where timing or syncing is important, and this would also mean Digital Performer and Pro Tools and all these more pro stuff.
So you're coming out publicly and saying this is a turkey.
What's in your filter, man?
I'm just
it
listening.
Ain't coffee, baby.
I didn't say anything like that.
I'm just listening to you complain about the fact that nothing that's really a quality product will run on this thing.
I had a briefing with Schiller later. I thought I would share with the people.
No, this is great. This is fascinating.
Jobs
this
did
is
not
good
say this, and as you just said, it's only a matter of a few months until these guys make these apps compatible with the Intel processor natively, but for now, this is something that people should know.
This is what speaks, though, to what Patrick was saying, which is don't be the first to buy this thing. Wait and see what these
Patrick's
little issues.
Not going to buy one anyway.
Well, I know, but what these little issues are, because there may well be more issues. And now already we're hearing, a lot of programs won't run on the Intel. A lot of Mac programs won't run on the Intel Macs. That's a big deal.
Yeah, but Steve did say we are going to port all our professional apps. I can't remember exactly, he said.
By
March.
March. So
that's
soon. Yeah, it's not terribly far away. So you'll have Final Cut, you'll have Logic, and I can't remember what the other
right.
one
was. Right. Well, that's what I was going to point.
February work in March.
Buy a copy of XP Pro and Dual Boot.
Well, there was one Pro app that I use, which is Soundtrack Pro. It sounds like that will not run. If I get one of the new Macs, it will not run well, because that's very timing specific. That's
right.
Any music program, it sounds like, would have trouble.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Well,
you can use GarageBand. That's just the one last thing, and I'll leave you alone. But Macworld is usually attuned to like the consumer apps and consumer computers and all that, and so
that's what we saw tonight, right?
And so basically, when we start seeing these pro machines, that's where we'll probably see the kick for the software, which is why he mentioned the cross grade for like $149 per app.
$49
$49. Okay, yeah. Shoot, I'm
that's a good deal. I mean, if you're a final, I mean, I guess it is. You already paid $18,000 for the program, but
I just want to give a shout out to the MacAddict people who told me to come here.
So MacAddict people,
MacAddict forums,
MacAddict.
Oh, MacAddict.
I can't pronounce.
You had it on
anything.
The wrong syllable. Okay.
Are you from Canada?
easy.
MacAddict.
Thank you.
I like it.
Sounds like some sort of a sounds lewd.
It actually. Does sound lewd. Hello, I am with MacAddict.
Is that Victor?
Yeah.
Hey, Victor.
Hi. So I'm just beating out an old horse here in iWeb. I just wonder how is this page going to show up on a Windows PC and Explorer,
That's a good question.
A lot like Dreamweaver in the old days was like, you can just drag your photos over here. It's going to show up fine. And then you press F12 and it looks like trash.
I think Steve addressed it in the keynote.
Work fine on Safari, but when I send it to my
friend, think Steve addressed that in the keynote, and he said it works well. He said Internet Explorer specifically as well as Firefox.
And he said Firefox as well. Yeah.
I think he said any modern browser, which means it's using a lot of CSS, I would imagine.
Yeah, Ajax is it.
And Ajax as well. Yeah.
Because whenever you try to make a page, it's hell to make it work well in every browser.
Well, and that's something that Dreamweaver does very well, which is does browser checking and makes sure that it degrades properly and so forth.
So the Java backend makes everything gel.
Yeah, it puts a lot of Java in there saying, what's the browser? All right, I can't do this, I can't do that.
And the other thing is they're still selling like PowerBooks for the same price. And the 15 PowerBook is the same price as the 15.
It's the same price. I think it's a great deal. It's five times faster.
So I wonder, what do you guys think about that? Why are they still selling the PowerBooks at the same price?
Because what do you want them to raise the price? Or do you mean the old one?
Oh, lower the price on PowerBooks.
$958 where you said Ajax.
Patrick, I noticed along those lines, Patrick, he used the spec benchmarks. He used spec int and spec floating point. Those are synthetic benchmarks. Are they considered?
All benchmarks are synthetic.
Well, there's some that use applications, right?
But even application-based benchmarks can be spun and tweaked.
Spec is not what I would call, or is it, a good, useful benchmark?
Well, okay, think about it this way. You can build a car and run it in the quarter mile, right? Or you can, take the engine out and put it on a machine and run it that way, right? And you can guesstimate the horsepower either way. You know what I mean? You can get the horsepower off a dyno, and you've got a great number for horsepower, but if you change settings on the dyno or settings...
So that's essentially what the spec is doing.
Yeah, the spec is like a dyno number. It's like, ooh, it's 100% more, dead crap. Great.
And to Steve's credit, he said, but now that's not the full power of this machine because his hard drives aren't faster, etc.
So do you think that Steve maybe would use benchmarks that made his stuff look better?
Again?
Maybe.
Well, look. There's a long history in every hardware manufacturer on the planet of spinning things right. as best they can.
Really?
It's true, Jeff.
That's why when I used it and it felt so much faster, I thought that's the real test.
None of this makes any difference. All you have to do is pick up the mouse and try it, and you're like, wow, this is fast.
I've always believed that the best way to tell is when you feel if it's faster.
And it does.
And I've always felt it was the better benchmark.
It emphatically feels faster.
The web stuff is unbelievable. And I asked Phil, my buddy Phil.
iWeb or .web?
Safari.
The Webbook Code Duo Core.
And like he demoed in the keynote, pages just blink onto the screen. And I was typing URLs I knew hadn't been cached, you know, CNN.com, blink. And I thought that, you know, a lot of that would have to do with the connection and the hard drive and the cache and all that stuff. But he said there's so much, you know, actual processing, Java and whatnot, that it actually makes a big speed difference.
And those previous systems must have been slow as dirt.
Chris Breen, did you notice? I noticed this in the keynote. In fact, right at front, at the beginning, I said he's using an iMac, and this is the fastest. There must be something. There's a cray underneath the desk. Immediately I noticed that. What's going on?
And that's when I suspected. They're running the
mail just popped up. I mean,
anytime Steve does anything, it's never slow unless he wants it to be.
Right.
So invariably, they're running some kind of hot hardware up there. So yeah, I suspected they were running a new Intel machine of some kind. I was far enough back that I couldn't see exactly what he was doing up there. But particularly when he brought out the new iPhoto and you know had 25,000 things and like butter.
Yeah.
And it really was.
Butter. It scrolled like butter.
It scrolled like butter.
That's a T-shirt, people.
Yeah.
So we have another smaller element here that's going to ask a question.
A little baby twit.
Like on all the rumor sites, they said, "Oh, they're going to update the iBook and the Mac Mini first with the Intel processors." But why didn't they do that? And it seems like Apple would want to do that first, just kind of ease into the transition. But the PowerBook is more the Pro laptop, and the iMac's kind of mid-range. So why did they? Do you have any idea why they did that?
They basically just wanted to teach the rumor sites a lesson.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I have a thought on this.
Somebody asked, what's your podcast, kid?
So, Jeffrey, I think that what you see is Steve Jobs is kind of a guy who likes repeat success. And when he took the company over again, the first thing he came out was with an iMac. And so I think he's just basically doing, essentially following the same pattern he did before. That little one will come out last.
Okay. Like the Mac Mini.
Do you have a podcast, Jeffrey?
Well, me and my friend used to do one a long time. Well, not
a long time ago.
When he was three.
Early days of the podcast. Yeah, he's beyond it now.
What have you moved on to? Because I'd like to know. Because I want to get into it.
Now he runs Kittysoft.
Well, my friend really likes RuneScape, so it's more his podcast than mine. So I just kind of set it up for him.
So what you're saying is you're a producer more than talent.
Get him a t-shirt.
Can you come over and set up my home theater?
Venture capitalist. Thanks, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Yeah. 15 years from now, we'll be working for him.
Yeah, maybe sooner. So I did actually. Amber and I talked to the Mac Mini product manager, and asked him actually that very question, and he didn't say anything.
Is he really really little?
Yes, he's tiny.
You know what's interesting? He actually used to work at Shuttle PC until January, which is another actually very cool. It's the only cool PC really. It's a little box PC, and obviously Apple said we're going to do a little computer. You want to come over? I would say it's pretty clear that that's the next kind of media center. I think they're still going full speed ahead on that.
I think it's a pretty typical move for most. Anytime you're going to launch a new chip like that, you want to show off its best side and on the fastest hardware, and obviously it was needed, and it's good to see. I mean, everyone sounds pleased with the performance. You guys sound like you're really
excited.
Well,
here's the thing that kills me. I have a dual 2 gigahertz tower, and now
this is all you've been complaining about the whole show.
Have I already said that?
You're trying to give it away.
Get your book or something.
But there's been a crying need for, people on the Mac side have been crying about the PowerBook's power for a long time, and it's sort of that the pro users who are portable people have said, you know, we really have got to have this, and we're never going to put a G5 in this. So please, please, please. And I think Apple really wanted to deliver on the high end and the portable side. So I think
have a big first quarter.
Well, they will. Essentially, I mean, the iBook users don't care quite so much. They don't have to be as fast as possible, but the people that are buying the professional portables do.
Seriously, Leo, you have about 3 days to get that thing up on eBay.
I know, I'm moving. Just, I know, it's going to drop off. You know, one of the things that, one of the reasons that I was about to get on the ledge, John, when they decided, when they announced the Intel thing, was I thought of the Osborne effect. I thought they'll never sell another Apple, you know, until they come out with the Intels. And that's not so. In fact, they had the biggest quarter in Apple history last quarter. They sold more product, not less product. What do you attribute to that?
iPod. Yeah, but
that was the iPod.
Well, no, no. I think he's talking about Mac sales as well. We're up. So
it's the iPod.
He sold a lot of Mac. I think they said it was a large. Oh, well, I can't read your transcript. So.
Also, the thing about
that's
all these.
A great transcript.
I've heard that a lot today. In fact,
there was no Osborne effect, apparently.
Right, and there isn't one, because think about it. Let's say you're one of these people who says, ooh, I like that new PowerBook. I'm not going to buy a PowerBook now. So it was like, ooh, Apple's dead. They're not going to sell any PowerBooks until this one comes out in March, right? So. But it's just a delayed purchase. Then when it comes March, they will buy it. Right. So I don't understand what the big fuss is. It's not like that people are switching to Windows because it's going to take 2 more months.
I've never been totally convinced that Osborne effect actually existed. It happened with Osborne because this product that they announced, they didn't get it out in time. I mean, they had all this announcement, and there was also a lot of competition that they were facing. Right. I'm not absolutely sure. I mean, I know what the Osborne effect is supposed to be, which is, for people out there who are just listening now, is that, you know, and this actually, the real time that this happened was with Northstar Computers some years earlier when they announced a double density controller card at the same exact price. At the same exact price as the single density card, but they couldn't ship it. But people stop buying the single density card. Say, why am I going to? I'll just wait for the double. It's the same price, and the company almost went broke. And this has since become the Osborne effect because he did something similar.
And really did go broke.
But they didn't have any other products either. I mean, Apple, if they stopped selling all the other stuff, they could just coast on their iPod sales. So, I mean, it's not going to really hurt the company.
But like the other gentleman brought up, isn't the pricing right now the same as the previous hardware? So that right then and there, it's like, okay, I'm going to get something that's twice as fast as you guys are saying.
That's pretty
personally,
good.
Personally, I'm waiting. But
yeah, yeah.
Apple was
and this is honestly the first time I'd actually considered.
Apple was up $4 a share today.
So what? It was 5%.
To better value.
82?
Yeah.
Apple's at 82?
This is post-lit.
Wow. Buy on good news, really sell on bad news. Just the other way.
I could never figure that out. This is why John is longer a Dominican priest. You know, we've run out of time. I can't believe it. I'm getting the wrap-up signal. I haven't seen that since the screensavers. So that's we have a hard limit of an hour and 20 minutes. Otherwise, AOL can't burn this to a CD.
I can't afford those 70-minute discs.
I wish I were joking. I really do.
Or the 99-minute.
Makes sense to me.
We really want to thank the great folks at the Zeum who've been really wonderful to us. This is a great theater, isn't it? If you're in San Francisco, come visit it. It's a fun museum, a really great museum for kids, but really a lot of fun. Also to the San Francisco School for Digital Filmmaking, who provided us with a lot of technical help today. They did a great job. If it weren't for them, there'd be no two shots of me and John, so we want to thank them for that. Also, of course, want to thank the folks at AOL Radio for providing us with the bandwidth for this podcast and for airing the podcast. Maybe not this one, but most of the other podcasts on AOL Radio's podcast channel at AOLmusic.com. David Pogue, I'm glad you came back. Glad you made it. We really appreciate it. And I will see you tomorrow morning for Macworld Live. David has
You'll be on my show.
Ooh, I'm in trouble now. Patrick Norton, back to DLTV. I hear you have some encoding to do.
Encoding and uploading to do.
You've got some encoding to do, Ricky. John C. Dvorak, I think we go back to Fringal now, right?
Yeah, let's go drink some wine.
All right, some more wine. Amber MacArthur, it's been great having you. We're going to go off, and we've got to go tape Mac Break, which is our new Macintosh show, which will debut next week. It will be the first, I think,
once we actually do a 1080p podcast.
That's
going to be a large file. Okay. That's going to be a large down. Everybody's leaving already. And Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine, the Mac Daddy, great to have you.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
We'll see you up in Toronto sometime soon, I hope. You come up and see us. And we'll see you on the cruise.
Yeah.
Actually, we shouldn't talk about that. David isn't going on.
More plugs.
He's kind of bitter about it.
In 3 weeks, we go on MacMania 4, which will be a lot of fun. I hope to have my iMac by then. I can't get a PowerBook by then, but I'll just pack the iMac. And Robert Herron from DLTV and PC Magazine. It's great to have you. And it was great to have you guys in the audience. You were a lot of fun. Thank you very much for joining us today. Another Twit is in the can.